Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, your home for inspiring conversations with outdoor insiders. Each week, author, speaker, adventurer, and outdoor industry veteran Rick Saez talks in-depth with iconic brand founders, sales and marketing pros, product designers, and industry rising stars. Listen in when Rick's guests offer actionable advice to land your ideal industry gig and grow your outdoor career. Catch us again when the conversation shifts to the hottest outdoor products, destinations, and the latest industry insights.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
And now, here's Rick.
Welcome to episode 306 of the Outdoor Biz Podcast. Crimson Clover founder Rhonda Swenson is on the other side of the mic today, telling us how her grandmother taught her to knit at age 9, starting her lifelong love affair with sweaters. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good to be chatting with you this morning. I hear you just got back from Spain. That must have been very exciting.
Oh my gosh, it was so incredible. I highly recommend a cycling trip or a hiking trip for anyone.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It was pretty spectacular. It was amazing. But what was really amazing was the riding. The cycling was just absolutely incredible. And it is beautiful there.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Where were you? Were you in the mountains or where were you?
We were in Mallorca, based on two sides of the island, riding all the big iconic peaks all over the mountains.
Yeah. And how were you introduced to the
outdoors? I've always been in the outdoors. It was a big part of my family life growing up. We were always out hiking, biking, catching frogs, hiking up hills to find hawks. It was just part of my life. Mm-hmm. And then I was lucky enough when I was 11 to be invited on a ski trip. And from there, I was just hooked. Afterwards, I went on every ski trip that was ever offered through schools, churches, friends. I was completely hooked. So hooked that I went to school in Boulder at the University of Colorado. And then on the weekends, I started teaching skiing. And as soon as I graduated, I moved to Vail. I was just hooked.
So you're an outdoor person from the get-go.
I love the outdoors.
I do too. We all do. That's where we're on the show and listen to the show, I think. And you say your love affair with sweaters started when your grandmother taught you to knit at age 9. Do you remember what the first thing you made was? What'd you make first?
My first thing was a pot holder because that's what my grandmother taught me how to make.
Cool.
And I bet everybody who knows how to knit made a pot holder first.
That makes sense.
My favorite thing to knit was a sweater. And most of my life, I used to knit sweaters for my boyfriend. There's something pretty amazing about making something for someone that you love. And I always said it was proof that sweaters are love.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. How old were you when you made your first?
I made my first sweater. I think I was probably 17, my senior in high school. And I made a sweater for my boyfriend all through high school.
Yeah.
I never made a sweater for myself.
Really?
Only for other people.
Interesting. So. Even to this day, you haven't?
To this day, I've made scarves, but I've never made my own sweater.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I've made a lot of sweaters as baby gifts and all the above.
That's a good skill to have because you're right. You can do all kinds of gifts for people and it means a lot more when it's handmade coming from someone close to you.
Yeah. And it's segued into what I do now. So
yeah, right.
I don't know. That's great.
Yeah. And your bio says you're a former CU Buffalo, Texas cowgirl, pro road cyclist, ski instructor, and flight attendant. Now, I'm familiar with most of those, but Texas cowgirl. Tell us a little bit about what that involves. Rodeo stuff?
I was raised in a big Texas ranching family. Yeah, my life was filled with horses, cows, cattle drives, rodeos, you name it. I was a barrel racer.
Wow.
It was an incredible way to grow up.
Yeah, how fun is that? So you guys must have had tons of fun just roaming around. How big was the ranch?
It was big.
Yeah, that's cool. So you could get lost on it?
A million acres or something like that. But again, this is Texas. You need probably six times as much land in Texas to run the same amount of cattle that you might in Virginia. It's all, you have to put it into perspective.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It's all dry.
It was a really great way to grow up.
Oh, man, I'll bet. You guys could just go out there and get lost, I'll bet. That was just super fun.
It was great. And we had rivers going through the middle of it.
Oh, wow.
I spent my life like swimming my horses. No, I fished a little, but my big thing was swimming with my horse. Oh. Every day we were in the rivers with our horse.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was great. Camping. We did trail rides. Yeah, we did hay rides. We did brandings. We did lots of roundups, the cattle roundups.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. We see that here in Bishop. We have not that large here in the Eastern Sierra, but there's some pretty big ranches, and every once in a while you see the guys out there rounding up all the cattle. I think they move them to high ground or low ground depending on the weather, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's an amazing industry.
Yeah, hard work, I'll bet.
A little bit of a dying industry, I think.
I think
you're
right.
Getting tougher and tougher to be in that business.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, there's a few of them hanging on around here and throughout the West, yeah. So your entire career has been in the outdoor biz. What was your first outdoor job or outdoor role?
My first job out of college was at Christie Sports. And I was so lucky there because everybody in the industry comes in clinics and teaches you all about their products. So
right.
I met so many people who were making a living in this industry that I just decided then and there that this was the industry I wanted to be in. And then I became a sales rep for a woman who has a small sweater company in our same industry, which ended up leading me down the path of owning her sweater company. Yeah, when I was a sales rep, I was also a flight attendant. And so the owner of this company would send me to South America to work with their factories because I flew for free.
Yeah.
And I'd be over there for 2-3 weeks at a time. And I ended up designing for, and then eventually I bought a company from her. And granted, it was a tiny little company.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say pay attention to those right or left turns you take in life.
You never know.
They just might change your life.
Yeah, what a great experience too. You got to see how the whole thing worked from the ground up.
Oh, it was so amazing. That's really how I became a sweater designer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. And are there any other entrepreneurs in your family?
Oh, yes. Okay. I have a brother who lives in Tanzania, in Arusha, Africa.
Oh, okay.
And he's probably the biggest entrepreneur in our family.
What's he do? I've been there. I went there to climb Kilimanjaro.
Oh, he's done that a few times. He has a safari company, and his is really unique in that he specializes in walking safaris.
Huh.
You can go out with him and go on a 100-kilometer walk in the Serengeti without seeing any other tourist.
Wow.
It's amazing. You might see Maasai, the natives, but you won't see people. And it's just what he does is very unique and really cool.
I bet he's busy. That is really cool. Over there, we were over there to climb Kili, and then we did a safari afterwards or before. Afterwards. And
we're going back next year, and I'm hopeful that we're going to go and climb Kili because that's the one thing I haven't done when I've been over there.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it's just incredible, and they're about to put a gondola
top. Really?
I don't know if you've heard about that.
I haven't heard about that.
Which I guess from an African perspective, it's going to bring a lot of revenue. It's just Africa's changing is so fast. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get back over and climb it before that happens.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I remember being there, and we paid extra money to have all of our trash and stuff carried down the mountain and actually disposed of properly. And one of the days I was out roaming around, and I saw the guys walking out of camp, and they'd go down the side of the hill about, I don't know, 200-300 yards and just pitch the trash over the side.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was sad. But it's a different way of life over there. It's very, from what we're used to, it's still very rural living. Rural like we haven't seen rural in thousands of years.
And changing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for the good,
right?
As fast as it can. It's right now, Tanzania, everything's ungated. All the parks are ungated and unfenced, and that's going to change eventually. And
get over there while you can. That'll be good to see. Yeah, that'll be cool. And how did you earn the reputation as the sweater girl? Must have been all those.
I'm a knitter, and my knitting and travels and all of that turned me into a sweater designer. And Crimson Clover is my third brand that specializes in sweaters. And so I think that moniker is just stuck.
That makes sense. So. Do you do other things other than sweaters? Do you knit beanies, caps?
Beanies, caps, scarves.
Scarves,
gloves.
Yeah. Okay.
But my passion is sweaters.
Yeah.
Sweaters are one of those things that you don't have to have. You don't ever go out shopping for a new sweater.
Yeah,
you go out, you see it. You buy it. If you don't buy it, you go home, you dream about it, and you come back the next day and buy it. It's impulse wear.
Yeah.
And so there's something really wonderful about being in a business that creates impulse wear.
That's a good one. Yeah, I love sweaters. I've always been a sweater guy. We're going to take a little break and give some love to our sponsor, Goal Zero. If you're an outdoor freelancer, exploring, capturing photos, and writing to create content is your life. And the day always lasts longer than the battery. I rely on Goal Zero portable power banks and power stations to keep my gear charged and ready to go. From my iPhone and portable recorders to my MacBook, I'm always ready for the next photo or pithy guest comment in a podcast interview. Visit ricksays.com/goalzero to see their options and find a tool that fits your needs today. That's ricksays.com/goalzero. Now back to the show. And tell us about Crimson Clover. What do you guys do and how do you do it?
We're a women's sportswear brand specializing in luxurious active apparel, definitely focused in the ski and outdoor industry. I personally feel like I'm so lucky that I get to do what I love every day. I'm the creative director behind the brand. But with that said, I have an amazing group of passionate, talented women behind me that drive the success. It's a lot of teamwork that makes our business a success. Mm-hmm. We have incredible female illustrators, knitwear designers, print designers. There's a lot of talent here at KK.
Yeah, your website's beautiful. And it was on your Instagram page too. You guys do some great work.
Yeah, we have a graphic designer on staff, and I think she really outdid herself this year. The website looks so good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, good job. Have you guys considered making sweaters for...
No. I used to design for men at my last brand, Neve, and I still do a few custom pieces in our logo program, but the truth is I'm better at women's design, I think.
I think having a business that's narrowly focused like that is the way to go, too. I talk to people about that all the time. It's... If you just focus on what you do best, you'll be...
And we're still really trying to grow, and so staying focused, I think, is the right thing for us to do.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, good for you. Very cool. And what's your current go-to-market process look like? You mentioned reps. Do you also go to shows?
We go to 4 shows, typically, when COVID's not around.
Right.
We do Grassroots. We do the Outdoor Retailer Show. We do some of the buying group shows. Mm-hmm. We go to ISPO in Munich. We have a big sales force. We have a sales team here in the U.S. and Canada, plus 3 European distributors.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're really growing.
Good for you.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah. Do you have enough space up there to do all the things you do?
Yeah, we're growing into our office. We're a little tight, but we love where we are. We're in downtown Boulder, and we just love it.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah, we're gonna stay put as long as we can before we get forced into a bigger space. But yeah.
Cool.
But our factories can for sure handle us.
And where are the factories?
We work with factories, Vietnam, China, Indonesia, Portugal, Italy, and Bulgaria, all over. One little tidbit, we have quite a few factories that are women-owned.
Cool.
So I always love mentioning that because I think that's pretty amazing. All of our Chinese factories are women-owned.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and really dynamic,
yeah,
powerhouse women. It's amazing.
Very cool. And have you been to all those places?
I do. I have. I go frequently. I haven't been since COVID, but as soon as they open China back up, I'll definitely be going over there. I won't work with a factory until I've visited. Yeah. Just, we really like to make sure that it's a really good working environment.
Mm-hmm. Vietnam's fun. I used to go to Vietnam a lot for various brands.
I love Vietnam.
Yeah, I do too. The food and everything. All those places you mentioned. Portugal's got to be amazing.
It's a new factory. We've been with them for 2 years now.
Oh, okay.
And oh my gosh, that's my favorite place to visit.
The food, that's very good. Yeah, yeah, very cool. I've thought about retiring in Portugal.
You wouldn't be a bad place.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's a really easy place to live and it's beautiful. Anyway.
Yeah, cool. And I love your mission. What kinds of activities are you guys doing to help make the planet a better place? We all need to do more.
We're all super passionate about this topic, and as I think most people in the outdoor industry, but we really try hard to take a responsible approach to what we do. We've been talking about slow fashion longer than it's even been a trend, creating products that stand the test of time. It takes us 2 years to bring a product to market.
Wow.
So we want it to stay in your closet for years, not be a one and done product. So we use the best fibers, the best materials, everything we can. We try really hard to use fibers that are durable, biodegradable, recycled, have a low impact on the environment. We're not perfect yet, but we sure are striving to be perfect.
Continuous improvement is the way to do it. You just keep getting a little better because nothing's perfect.
nothing's perfect. And somebody made a comment to me recently, if you wait till things are perfect, you're never going to get where you're trying to go.
That's
so
it.
You just keep plugging away.
Yeah.
The big one for us is how do we get around the poly bags that you need to bring your products from the factory into the US? And it's a tough one, but we're all working hard to figure it out.
That's a requirement?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize
so,
that. Interesting.
I don't know if it's an absolute requirement, but it comes over on a boat. It could get wet. Mm-hmm. It could get bugs. It could get like all these things.
Oh, yeah.
And then Patagonia did a really interesting article a few years ago about when things didn't come in a poly bag, if you touched them with dirty hands or it fell on a warehouse floor, the waste in products that you couldn't ship into the stores actually far outweighed the benefit of reducing the poly bags. It's a big conversation. There's a lot of obstacles that get in the way of eliminating it, but we're making a lot of headway.
Good. Yeah, I bet that's a tough one. Yeah, interesting. I never thought of that before, but we need to get rid of all this plastic.
It's crazy the amount of plastic that is in our industry.
Yeah. And you must get outside a lot. What outdoor activities do you participate in?
I'm a big skier. I'm a big downhill and a backcountry skier. I spend as much time out there as I can. I'm a big cyclist. Like I said, I just got back from Mallorca. Mm-hmm. That was pretty amazing. Yeah, I just anything and everything outdoors.
Do you get on your bike like every day, every few times a week?
Yeah.
Oh, good for
you.
I'm
a big cyclist. I try to ride every day. Well, in the winter, I don't ride much, but I have a Peloton. So.
Oh, there you go.
If I can't get out and ski, then I'm probably trying to ride my Peloton.
Yeah, very cool. A lot of exercise. You got to do that to keep your head clear. At least I do anyway. Do you have any suggestions and or advice for folks wanting to get into the outdoor biz? Lost you again. There you are.
Okay.
I'll start that one again. Do you have any suggestions or advice for folks wanting to get into the outdoor biz?
I do. Such a great industry. One, there's a great group on Facebook called Basecamp. So if you're looking, to get into the industry and find out what jobs are out there, it seems like a large number of the brands in our industry are involved with Basecamp, listing all their job openings.
Reach. Yeah.
And then a piece of advice, we've just recently hired a few people. I would just say when you apply for jobs, send a note about yourself. Mm. It'll set you apart. Mm-hmm. A resume doesn't give a glimpse of your personality. Mm-hmm. Sell yourself in a cover letter. I'm just so surprised at how few people send cover letters with their resumes.
Mm, interesting.
And it just goes such a long way.
Yeah.
It puts you to the top of the list because somebody can see you as a person.
It personalizes you. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that would be my biggest.
That's good. Those are good
piece
tips.
Of advice.
Yeah. And you guys are growing a lot, hiring quite a few.
We're trying to hire a couple of people right now, and we've just hired a few people. So, it's pretty exciting.
That is. Good for you. That's awesome. And what's your favorite piece of outdoor gear under $100?
Well, I think everything I do is with my dog, River, who happens to get really hot during the summer. So my favorite recent purchase is the Roughwear cooling jacket. It's amazing.
Okay.
It lets River go the distance without getting too hot.
Wow.
And it really works.
How does it work?
He's an Australian Shepherd and he has a lot of fur.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my favorite.
How does it work?
I guess it has reflective cover on the outside that reflects the sun and then a evaporative piece that's down around the belly and against the dog that absorbs. Mm. And so the two things together, you can put your hand inside the cooling jacket on a 90 degree day and it'll be 20 degrees warmer inside the jacket.
Wow, that's huge for a dog.
It's huge. Yeah. So you get it wet.
Yeah.
And so I think as the water evaporates, it pulls the heat off the dog.
Wow.
Anyway, it's amazing. I highly recommend it to anybody with a dog that doesn't do well in the heat.
We'll link to that in the show notes. That is amazing. That's great. Do they make them for humans?
I know they should, right?
You probably need one of those on your bike on a 100-degree day out there on your road bike or mountain bike.
Yeah.
And you guys have a special offer. Sorry, let me do that again. And do you have a special offer for our listeners? Tell us about that.
We do. We're offering any listeners who go to our website a 25% discount.
Oh, cool.
A one-time purchase. I think the code is OutdoorBiz25.
I think that's it. Thank you very much. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So go out there and get some sweaters, folks. Buy them for your girlfriends. Buy them for yourself. Whoever. And is there anything else you'd like to say or ask of our listeners as we go to close here?
Oh, I just say, get out there and enjoy the outdoors. It's a beautiful place we all live in, so get out and enjoy it.
Perfect. I love that. That's my mantra. Get outside. That's it. And if people want to follow up with you, what's the best way?
We are on Instagram and Facebook, and you can always reach out through our website, crimsonclover.com. So there's a contact us, and all of our contact information is there, and we love hearing from everyone.
Cool. Well, we'll link to all that in the show notes. It's been great talking to you. I look forward to seeing you at a show one of these days when we go back.
Yeah. I look forward to meeting you and seeing you and all of that.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Anytime. It was great. It was fun. Yeah. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, Rick.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Outdoor Biz Podcast. Be sure to visit our website, theoutdoorbizpodcast.com, where you'll find show notes with links to everything we talked about and more. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or spread the word and tell a friend about the show. That would really help us out too. Be sure to tune in every week. And thanks again for listening to the Outdoor Biz Podcast with Rick Saez.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.